do pray that as well. It's one thing to sing about it, but Lord, we need to live this. We need to trust you, and we need to obey your word. For so many, they let fear take hold of them. So many today reject your word, don't want to obey it. But where we find our true purpose and meaning, and where we find peace and joy, is in that right relationship with you. Well, we are trusting you, and we're also obedient to what you have taught us. So, Lord, I just ask you to help us. Let that song be a prayer unto you from us. Help us, Lord, because we need you. And now, Lord, as we open up the Word, I ask you to open up our minds and our hearts to you. I ask you to speak to us this morning, and we pray this in your name. Amen. All right. Now, promise myself I will not leave behind this pulpit. Step to the side and get off my notes. I think if I stay right here, stick with my notes, we can get done on time. What? No. All right. Deception, greater truth. We're going to finish up the deception part finally. I thought it was going to be two weeks. It turns into four. But deception, great deception. We're going to finish up the great deception today. Next week we'll move to the greater truth. Now, I know it's been a long series, and it's been hard to hear. There's a lot of things that's been hard to hear. But again, we are called to be wise as serpents, as gentle as doves. The Bible has foretold us that there's an enemy out there and what he's up to and what his tactics are, and we need to be wise to that. We have been told to be the church. We've been told to be awake, not asleep, understand the times we live, the days we live in, to be prepared as good soldiers of Jesus Christ who understand the situation and are putting on the full armor of God to make our stand. That's what this has been about. And I know it's not been easy, but we're almost at the finish line in this series, maybe even the finish line for the church. As we see in our diagram of our eschatology, the end times study of the end times, we know that the church age will end with the rapture of the church. The Bible gives us signs and prophecies to know how close we are. We don't know. No one knows the date. But it tells us, warns us, and Jesus tells us, you know, you're close. You can see these things. You're close. When you start to see these things happen, look up, for your redemption draws near. That is our hope. That is what Paul comforted the Thessalonians with when in 1 Thessalonians, when they're under severe persecution, he comforted them with the hope of the rapture of the church. And that rapture is not just for those who are alive. If you die in Christ, present with the Lord, as from the body, present with the Lord, but your body remains here. But at the rapture, those who have died in Christ and those who are still alive will be caught up, will be changed, and will meet the Lord in the air. Won't that be amazing? Then he said, I will take you where I am because I've prepared a place for you. That's going to end the rapture. That's going to end the church age, the rapture. But we know before the rapture, times are hard. The Bible has told us the world will be in turmoil. There will be violence. There will be all sorts of things happening that are not good. There will be persecution. The church will be having a hard time when the rapture happens. Why is it so chaotic in the world? Well, there's great deception in the world towards the end. We've seen this in the last couple of weeks. We've been looking at it. Romans 1. Called the Romans 1 judgment. God turns people over. They don't want him. They don't want his truth. And he gives them what they want. They want their sin. And it actually corrupts their soul and mind. They have a debased mind. They no longer can think clearly, logically. And they're open to be deceived. And we know in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that Satan is going to bring great deception. He is the father of lies. He's going to bring great deception. And because people have a debased mind, and because there's also a delusion sent by God on those who refuse the truth, who hate the truth, they're going to be open to being deceived. And this deception has already been taking place. And that's what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. And all this deception, what it has been designed to do by the evil one, is to separate people from the truth of God's word. The little deceptions that we've talked about in the last couple of weeks, all there in the white, are deceptions that are smaller in nature, but have had a devastating effect. They have successfully made people reject the truth of God's word. And once you go down that path, once you start down there where you're rejecting the truth, you don't want to hear the truth anymore, you are open for greater deception. And that's what we see on the horizon. The Bible has warned us about that Satan himself is already at work, the father of lies, and this great reset, the Agenda 2030 that we've been talking about. And it's all about this new world order under the Antichrist that the Bible has warned that there will be a final generation of the church that will be there when these things begin to take place. So today we're going to be looking at the 8 predictions for the world in 2030. I've shown this video a couple times now in the last couple weeks. I'm not going to show it again today. We're going to break this down. But where I want to remember what we were talking about last week, connect it to this video from the World Economic Forum, these 8 predictions. Last week we saw that the Canadian Justin Trudeau ties the COVID-19 pandemic and recovery to the reset and the UN Agenda 2030. They're using the virus to bring about what they call their pre-pandemic goals. They're using the virus to initiate this UN 2030. Now, we read a couple articles about this. I wanted to bring this one back up, that the scale of this reset, this change that they're wanting to bring through this UN Agenda 2030, the scale of change called for, by definition, is global in nature. Global. It is to lay waste the current world order or the way we know life is. And then to lay the foundations for a new world order. This is not conspiracy. This is out there. It's on the United Nations website. You can go to the WEF.org website, the World Economic Forum. This is all there. Joe Biden, and we talked about this last week, is on board. Back in 2013, he said the affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order. An article there, Biden's New World Order and UN Agenda 2030, One World Government. So these 8 predictions for the world in 2030. This agenda, also called the Great Reset, is clearly to bring in a new world order. Question, will it be successful? That's the question. No one knows. How many have tried in the past to bring a one world government? Man ruling himself outside of God. Can anyone remember the first time humanity tried to do this? What? Adam? Well, yeah, Adam just brought, he wasn't trying to rule though outside of God. He just wanted, you know, they wanted to win the Tower of Babel. It's, we say in America, Babel, but it's Babel. They tried to create their own government. They didn't need God. That didn't work out too well, did it? After World War I, there was what we call the League of Nations, trying to create a one world government to stop wars. And that failed with World War II. And then you had the United Nations, and United Nations had not been a stellar performer. They have not succeeded at very much in their existence. But now they've come up with this Agenda 2030. Will it be successful? It could fail like the others. In the timeline that the Bible talks about towards the end, it could get pushed back. And be clear for me, I hope it does. I hope it fails. It gives us more time to share the gospel. And we are to work against this Agenda 2030 by being salt, by being light, by being the church, by sharing the gospel. Let me be clear. God's prophecies of an end time world government is going to happen. It's just, when is it going to happen? But even because we know it's going to happen, it doesn't mean we hide in our church and just wait for it to happen and get taken out. You know, but with the rapture, no, we are to engage the world. We are to stand against the lies and the deception. The prophecies will come true. We can't stop that. But what we can do is be salt and light and try to help people come out of that deception so they can escape the judgment to come. But the reality that we are facing right now is that government leaders are wanting this Agenda 2030. So we have to deal with it. And looking at this Agenda 2030, many characteristics of what the Bible describes as the fourth beast, the last world empire of the end days, a lot of it fits what 2030 says. A global kingdom, no superpowers, no superpower nations anymore. All things run by a handful of nations, a coalition of 10 under a one world government. That's what the Bible describes. And the Bible has predicted this for thousands of years. So to look at this, I want to go to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 7, is where we're going to be today. Daniel 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. Verse 4, the first beast was like a lion, and it had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And saw another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. Verse 6. After this, I looked, and there was another. Doesn't say beast, though. He doesn't know how to describe this one. This is different. There was another, like a leopard. Oh, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. This one is a leopard, which has on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night vision, behold, the fourth beast. Now, this is why he doesn't like it to an animal that he knows. A fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. So what is Daniel seeing here? Now, go to the next slide. For time constraints, I can't go into connecting it to the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, all the different passages that talk about this. But what I'm going to do, and you can put this to test, you can do your study. These four beasts describe the four world kingdoms. 4 kingdoms that have tried to dominate the world. Daniel sees them. The one that was like a lion represents the Babylonian Empire. It was a lion with wings. Now, great winged lion statues guarded the gates of the royal palace in Babylon. It was a great world kingdom. He was at one point the most powerful man in the world, but behold, he was just a man. And eventually, Babylonian Empire came down. Do you remember who conquered the Babylonian Empire? Well, the Medes and the Persians. That's what the bear is, the Medes and the Persian Empire. But it says one side was greater than the other, the Medes and the Persians. But the Persians became the dominant factor here. Who conquered the Persian Empire? Alexander the Great, the leopard, a fast animal. And that's what was so amazing, how young he was, how fast he conquered the known world. That was the Greek empire under Alexander the Great. But it says four heads came from this leopard, this beast. That represents the four generals that the Greek empire was divided into after the death of Alexander the Great. Then came another world empire. Which one was that? The Roman Empire. The Iron Legions of Rome. Has the Roman Empire ever gone away? No. It still dominates Europe. It's not in power, but it still exists. The European Union, and many aspects of it, still foster that Roman Empire glory. They still want to unite the old Roman Empire. And the Bible tells us, when you go back to the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, the two legs of iron were the Roman Empire, but then the feet were the last empire. But it was part of the Roman Empire because the feet were iron and clay. So out of the old Roman Empire becomes this last world empire with 10 toes or 10 horns. Still part of the Roman Empire. That's what this fourth beast is. It's not described like any animal, just a terrible beast. But the iron teeth connects it to the iron legions of Rome. And it's a future kingdom connected to the old Roman Empire. Now, let's go back to Daniel, verse 7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong, huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, trampling the residue with its feet. It's different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Different than the first three. And like I said, the Roman Empire still exists. Even from the day that it basically fell, in the late, early 400s, it still exists there in Europe. Napoleon tried to bring it back. He took on titles that were of the Caesar, and he tried to reestablish the glory of Rome. Mussolini did the same thing. And if you really study Hitler was all about the old Roman Empire. He even built a building, you can still see it today. It never was finished, but it was designed after the Colosseum of Rome. They all wanted to recapture that Roman Empire. Europe has never been able to let go of what they used to be. This fourth beast will resurrect the Roman Empire for a short time. And it will have power over the whole world. The 10 horns, 10 heads, leaders, kings. I'll show you why I say that towards the end of the service. But these horns are kings. This world empire that's still going to come, iron and clay, it's strong, but it's also weak. But it's going to dominate, and it's going to dominate with 10 kings. Now, in that video, we saw something very interesting. Go to the next slide. The U.S. won't be the world's leading superpower. That's what it said in the video. A handful of countries will dominate. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, that's what the Bible talks about. There's no superpowers anymore. Everything's controlled by a handful, or we know from the Bible, 10 nations. It's like, wow, that's what they're wanting. A world government dispersed around under 10. Now, they're not saying 10 here, but a handful. Now, what's interesting is that the United Nations for a long time, this is going back probably 20 years, divided the world into 10 regions. I have the original little map there, the next one, that was from the UN that showed that they had divided the world into 10 regions that they could administer everything they did. Now, the UN took a big hit on this. Because people are proud of 10 nations, right? So today, I went to their website 2 days ago to see what they have in their regions. Go to the next slide. That's what they have now. 13 regions. that the United Nations have divided up, that they could govern. You're going to have these governors, these kings, these leaders over these different regions. But what you want to need to notice in the UN agenda, in the 2030 agenda, is under the UN. Do you see nations on that map? No. Borders are gone. This is the globalist dream where borders are gone. That's the problem. That's why we have wars, because we have nations. And patriotism and nationality, that just causes wars. We have to get rid of the nations. We have to become like regions. We have to become global citizens where we see ourselves as one. No borders, no nations. This is the globalist dream. This is the United Nations dream. Whether it's 10 regions or 13, the Bible says it will be 10. Here's where the deception of man-made climate change comes into play. Go to the next slide. In that video, it said 1 billion people. That's a lot of people will be displaced by climate change. And we talked about climate changes over time. Science has proven that. But the man-made climate change, where we're down to 10 years, some say 12 years, 8 years, and the world's going to be dead, that's not happening. But 1 billion people, they say, will be displaced by climate change. We'll have to do a better job of welcoming and integrating refugees. There has been a great push by the UN to masses of people into other countries. It's to water down culture. It's to make us all one. Get rid of national borders. We all just accept and we lose our identity as Americans, as British, as French, as whatever country you want to pick. It's working. This climate change delusion is helping them say, hey, we got to get rid of borders. We got to get rid of the immigration policies so people can migrate. Go to the next slide, Levi. Again, the U.S. won't be the world's superpower. A handful of nations, possibly 10 regions, handful of leaders. Or in the understanding of Daniel as he was writing, a handful of kings, maybe 10. A new world order. Now here's what you got to be clear about this 2030 agenda. These people, like Trudeau, Bush, everybody that's pushing for this 2030 agenda, they are not seeking a one world dictator in this. They're not. They're not that evil where they're wanting the Antichrist. They're looking with, they think, with good intentions of how to fix the world's problems. And what we need is get rid of nations, you get rid of all these individual governments and have this reset. And where 10 nations or whatever they want to come up with kind of controls everything under world government. They are not trying to bring the Antichrist in. Let me be very clear. President Biden is not sitting in the White House going, I'm going to get the Antichrist in. He's not doing that. They think this reset is a good thing, this Agenda 2030. Now, here's the problem, though. As they lay the groundwork and put in the systems into place for this reset, for this control of the world that they are proposing in this video, they are creating the system that the Antichrist will slither his way up and take control. That's what the Bible tells us. This 2030 agenda, if it succeeds, could be the system the Antichrist uses to come on the scene through political means. Why do I say that? Let's go back to Daniel 7:8. I was considering the horns, the 10 horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. Ouch. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. In the book of Revelation, it describes this person that speaks pompous as receiving a crown and going out to conquer. Let's go there real quick. Revelation chapter 6. Now I saw when the Lamb opened up the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, but he had no arrows, just a bow. So he's not a military leader. He had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. So having no arrows, he doesn't come to power by military force. It's political. A crown was given to him. He's a king. He went out and he conquered, taking out three kings that were politically in his way. Revelation 13 gives us more information on this man. Revelation 13, verse 1. Then I stood in the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like, now listen to this, it lists the first three beasts that we saw back in Daniel. This is John seeing this. Daniel saw it before. This is John seeing this now. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. And his mouth like the mouth of a lion. There's aspects of those other beasts, those other world powers, in this final beast who will actually accomplish what the other three could not do. Why? In his mouth like a mouth of a lion, the dragon gave him his power, his throne, great authority. What is behind this fourth beast? What is behind this man? Satan, his power. Verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now this man, this Antichrist, this king that rises up, plucks three out, and he assumes power over all the systems. He's going to be mortally wounded, a death blow. But he's miraculously healed. We don't fully understand everything that's going to take place there. But we know that medical advancement is great today. They can do things in the body that would have been sci-fi 50 years ago. In that video, it showed you won't die waiting for an organ donor. We won't transplant organs. We'll print new ones instead. This is great technology. Now, in an aspect also, we're starting to become arrogant, that we're getting so brilliant that we're losing our aspect that we need God. We don't need God. We'll just print new organs. But somehow this beast is miraculously healed and it marvels the world. Who is this man? Revelation 13, verse 5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. We know in the tribulation period, when this man is in power, he is going to make war against the saints, the Christians. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. This is a world government under one person. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verse 11, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence, causing the earth and those who dwell in to worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. This is what we call the false prophet. You have the Antichrist, the false prophet. This is the unholy Trinity. Just like you have the Trinity, the Holy Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Here is Satan's counterfeit. Satan is God the Father. The Antichrist is God the Son. And the false prophet is the Holy Spirit, bringing the worship, the false worship of the Antichrist, and which is actually worshiping Satan. And that's what Satan's wanted all along, is to be worshiped. He even asked Jesus to worship him. Here, his plan over the years is going to start to take place. And he's going to receive worship. Verse 13, this false prophet, he performs great signs so that he can even make fire come down from heaven. The Bible tells us Satan is going to bring towards the end great lying signs and wonders. People are so desperate for God, but they want it quick today. They want it now. They want to experience God. And so they flock to places that are showing signs and wonders. But see, God's never said, come experience me. God says, come and know me. My wife, when we got together, didn't say, come and experience me, Heath. Come and know me. It's a relationship. The relationship comes from the Word of God through discipleship, sanctification. But see, many people today are seeking signs and wonders. And guess what Satan's there to do? Give them signs and wonders and take them away from the truth. This false prophet will do the same. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven, mimicking godly signs, earth, heavenly signs, on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, who was wounded by the sword and lived. False worship, idol worship. Verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image, the beast, that the image of the beast should speak, and there's a lot going in here. I can't go all into it at this point. And causes as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Very, very close. Very exactly what Nebuchadnezzar did back in Daniel. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their hand, right hand, or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one that has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. I found some incredible information, technology, cool technology that we have today, that because the old King James, the newer translations say a mark on the hand or on the forehead. The old King James says in the hand or in the forehead. And the translators of the newer translations said, well, how you can't make a mark in the hand or in the forehead, so they changed it to on. I'm not going to go into this morning, but anybody who wants to see it, come talk to me, of making a mark in the hand. And it's not those little biochips. But anyway, what we're going to take from this real quick. If you can't buy or sell or do anything without the control of the government here, the Antichrist, you're basically, you own nothing here. Because you can't do with it with what you want. Who owns everything? It looks like the beast. It looks like the government system. And you have to get permission from them to buy, sell, trade. Because they own it all. You don't really own it because you don't have your say. Unless you get their permission first. What was in that video? You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Whatever you want, you'll rent. And it'll be delivered to you. If the average person in this 2030 agenda doesn't own anything, and that's all of us, but you rent what you need, someone owns everything. Does that make sense? But it's not you. So who owns what you need to rent? The New World Order, the government. Maybe these 10 kings. The system that the Antichrist is going to work his way up through politically and then take out 3 kings and take control of the whole system. This whole system that controls all things at this point. You see, this can take place before the tribulation period. These things can happen and the church will have to deal with it. Some of these things can happen before the tribulation, before the Antichrist takes over. These systems have to be in place so that when he slimes his way up and he takes control, he's got total control already established. You'll own nothing and be happy. No worries at all. That's what they're trying to paint, this life of no worries. It'll just all be provided for you. Let's go back to Daniel. All right. Daniel 7, 8. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom the three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots, and there in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. Daniel is seeing this terrible, scary beast. He's seeing everything, and it's horrifying. It's a dreadful, terrible thing. At this point, Daniel must be fearful from what he sees, because God does a very interesting thing right here. He's showing him this fourth beast of the future. But then he stops right here. He just stops. Verse 8. And what does he do? Look at verse 9. It switches. His vision is off the beast. And now it's to a future moment with God. Watch this. I watched till thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, his wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Judgment. The fire represents judgment in the Bible. 1,000,000 ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. So Daniel's seeing this terrible beast, this dreadful beast. And he's fearful of the power of this beast. And God says, well, hold up. Let me show you the very end. You seem fearful, Daniel. And I don't want fear to grip you. Let me show you how this whole thing ends. The Ancient of Days sits in his court. And the books are open. And we know this from the book of Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. And we know in this chapter, the Antichrist has been captured and thrown into the lake of fire. God says, look, Daniel, this beast is scary. I understand. But look, I win in the end. The judgment is set. Don't matter. Calm down, Daniel. Let's finish the vision. So let's finish. So that few verses, God takes them to the very end of the judgment, stabilizes Daniel, I guess, and brings them back. And then he continues. Verse 11. Daniel 7, verse 11. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. We see that in the book of Revelations as well. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Their influence. The beast is going to be taken down, but the influence of all the beasts are going to be felt in this last beast. What's interesting is that these three other beasts are considered more Eastern than Western. Persia, Babylonians, even Greece is on the very edge of being a Western civilization. A lot of it's Eastern. Look what it said in that video. Western values will have been tested to the breaking point. Why not Eastern values? Why is it just Western values? Very interesting here. Greek, Babylon, Persia, they're going to be part of this final beast, the Eastern values. Are we a democracy, America? Are we a democracy? No. What are we? We are a constitutional republic. All right? We have democratic democracy aspects. But we are not a democracy. Democracy came from Athens. Athens is considered the birthplace of democracy, but it's different than what we call democracy today. You can go back to the Republic of Plato, his writings, the Politics of Aristotle, read their writings about democracy. Democracy was much, in its purest form, democracy is not a good thing. That's why we are a constitutional republic. Go to the next slide. Quickly. Democracy is citizens get equal say in all decisions, all eligible citizens. But democracy does not protect the right of the individual. Majority rules. That's why we have the electoral college in this country, that the majority of people, sometimes a popular vote, outweighs the people in the smaller states, that, and their vote wouldn't count if we just went with straight democracy because the majority rules. But in a constitutional republic with democratic aspects to it, everyone gets a vote, but the individual right is protected. Individual rights are not protected in a democracy. The majority can overrule you. That is why a lot of these leaders who keep saying we're a democracy, and they're trying to push their agenda, and they're trying to take rights away from other citizens. If they have the majority, or if they have power, then they say, well, you don't deserve the First Amendment. Your speech, your values are not good for us, so we're going to block you. See, that's what a democracy does. But a constitutional republic says each one of you have rights, and the majority cannot take that away. But for this world agenda to happen, this Agenda 2030, Western values are going to have to be tested, broken, maybe taken back to the, because most people think we're a democracy. And let's go back to the purest form of democracy. Well, if we go, and it sounds good to a lot of Americans, so if we go back to the purest form, guess what? Throw your rights out the window unless you're on the side that's in power. Go back to Daniel 7, verse 15. I got 7 minutes. I can do it. 7 minutes. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit after he saw all this. I was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the vision of the head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by, one of the angels, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. And here it goes. Those great beasts which are four, and four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So yeah, there's these beasts who have always tried to rule the world. There's going to be these couple are going to try it, but guess who's going to get the world? The saints. God wins in the end. Verse 19. Then I said, I wish to know. Daniel said, no, I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast. The fourth beast intrigued him, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with his teeth of iron, its nails of bronze, which devoured and broke in pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. And what about the 10 horns, Daniel says, that were on his head, and the other horn which came up before which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. Verse 21. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days. I love that name for God. The Ancient of Days came, and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom on. So Daniel says, what is all this? Explain this. So verse 23, the angel says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. It will actually have world control. The others didn't. Trample it and break it into pieces. Verse 24. The 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And another shall rise after them. He shall be different than the first 10, the first ones, and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. The time, the reality of time and the law rests with God Almighty. Satan wants to change that. He wants to be the Most High. That's what he's trying to do here. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half times. 3.5 years in the tribulation period, he's going to win this Antichrist. This world system will be put into place. This is going to happen. Today, many are doing this with their good intentions to make the world better. But what they're doing is laying the groundwork for a system that will control the whole world, that an Antichrist is going to slither his way up through and take control. Now, church, we don't have to worry about this. The rapture comes before this Antichrist comes on the scene. But we could experience what the world's going to have to go through to get these systems in place. Maybe our rights being stripped. Maybe persecution. Because remember, people are buying into all the deceptions, and there's a line drawn between those who are deceived and those who are standing for the truth. And when people are in darkness, they don't like the light. They don't want to hear it. But we've been called to be salt and light. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they hated me, they'll hate you. If you want to live godly, you will suffer persecution. I'm not trying to make you fearful. I'm trying to prepare you. Because things are changing. You better have your armor on, which means you better have a right relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. Real quick. The eight predictions for the world in 2030. This video is online. You can go watch it yourself. There's a couple of things that I need to point out real quick, and I got 3 minutes. All right, here we go. This has got to be the worst one. This is so evil. You'll eat much less meat? I'm really offended with this one. If nothing else riles you up, this one should rile you up. They want to take my cheeseburgers away. You'll eat much less meat, an occasional treat, not a staple, for the good of the environment and our health. Again, folks, this 2030 agenda has such characteristics of the New World Order the Bible describes. The world, New World Order has complete control over you. They are telling you here they're going to control your diet. How much control is that? Scary. Also said in the video, there will be global price on carbon. This will help make fossil fuels history. Again, the new Green Deal and everything, they're going to make gas more expensive. They're going to make heating your house, getting electricity. See, if power, the ability to travel and just to have power in your house, this is an easy way to control people. You make power or fuel and stuff so expensive, you can control whole groups of people. They're going to make energy very expensive for people. And finally, it says you could be preparing to go to Mars in 2030. Where did that come from in this? I mean, they're talking about things that they're going to implement right away, and then all of a sudden you could be going to Mars? Where did that come from? And then it said, scientists will have worked out how to keep you healthy in space, the start of a journey to find alien life. I could go into that, but I'm not going to. This is what I call the Star Trek deception. The Star Trek utopia. Gene Roddenberry, who created Star Trek, and I love Star Trek, so any of you Trekkies out there, I'm not trying to attack you. But Gene Roddenberry, who created it, was an atheist. He hated Christianity. And he wrote Star Trek in such a way that evolution's all through it. There was no need for God. Man overcoming all the evil in the world. Man got rid of war, disease, poverty on their own. Created this utopia of the future where there's no material possessions. Go back and watch Star Trek. You don't own anything in Star Trek. You don't worry about material things anymore. We're just in the pursuit of knowledge and bettering our species. And now we're in great ships. They're going to go to amazing places out in the universe. I mean, it's a great show, TV show, movies. But this is why did it end with this? This is that little shiny thing they get to distract you. Or the squirrel, right? To get you focused on this and not what they're doing right in front of you. Eight predictions for the world in 2030. I'm closing right now. We do not know if this 2030 agenda will be successful. The Tower of Babel failed. The League of Nations failed. The United Nations has been a failing organization overall. But Agenda 2030, it might fail or it might be successful. Only time will tell. But it does have characteristics of what the Bible describes as the last beast. It could be the very system that is going to be in place for the Antichrist to politically move himself up and take over. But what we must understand is this. Whether it happens or not isn't the point for us. If it happens, we're going to have to deal with extra things I've been talking about. But the point is, we're going to have to be salt and light. We have to continue to be the church. Nothing changes for us. It doesn't matter if Trump's in there or Biden. We're still the church. We still have the same mission. And it doesn't matter if the Antichrist is trying to come on the scene. And it doesn't even matter if they take my cheeseburgers away. We will continue to be the church. Which means we have to be equipped, folks. No longer just playing church, sitting in a pew. You must become disciples. You must embrace sanctification of the Holy Spirit through the study of the Word of God. You must equip yourselves to share the gospel and to lead people to Jesus Christ. You can no longer leave it up to us so-called professionals. It's going to take every one of us. Because we're all priests in God's kingdom. Here's where we're going to close. I'll do it in 2 minutes. Psalms 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? 2030? Agenda? Vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against His anointed Jesus Christ, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. We will rule ourselves. Verse 4. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. It's not going to work. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Don't panic with this stuff. Don't fear this stuff. Each day, whether this stuff comes upon us, we have to deal with tribulations, we have to deal with persecution, God still sits on His throne. He is with us. He'll never leave us. We will trust and obey. I had all those songs in there for a reason this morning. We believe. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, there will be a time when the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. Salt and light. Going to help those who are deceived, those lost in darkness, find the truth. That they too are loved by God. They too can be redeemed and washed in the blood of the Lamb. So finally, church, we remain the church. 2 Thessalonians 2. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you. Brethren, beloved by the Lord, never, ever forget you are loved by the Lord. No matter what bad thing may come our way, you're loved. Don't ever question God's love for you. You are beloved by the Lord because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which He called you by our gospel for the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, my brothers, my sisters, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught about being a believer, about being a disciple, about being the church, the Great Commission. Put on the full armor of God and make your stand, all for the glory of our Lord and Savior, and the salvation of the lost. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for letting me get through all that scripture. I hope I didn't rush it. I hope I didn't confuse anybody. But Lord, I was trying to wrap it up and see the big picture. Next week we will see the greatest truth. But Lord, I ask you to help us understand in the last four sermons The deception has been hard. It's been challenging. It can be fearful. But Lord, we have nothing to fear. But having, when you say not to fear, that does not mean fear does not come to us. It means we don't let fear control us because we trust in you. The only way to experience courage is to have fear but overcome the fear. And we are to be courageous in you, Lord. So help those who might be struggling with fear. Help those who don't want to hear bad things, but Lord, that's reality. We live with that. The first century church lived with it. Christians overseas live with it right now. The Christians in the future are going to have to deal with the Antichrist himself. Lord, we are here and we've been protected here in America for the most part as Christians. But that, in a way, that's made us soft. Lord, we need to be ready and prepared because persecution is going to come our way. Things are changing. But praise God, Lord. Because you said that's another sign that our redemption is near. So let us finish the race. Let us be strong as your disciples, as your church, and make this last and final stand, whether it's a few months or a few years, Lord, that we stand strong as your church for your glory and for the salvation of the lost. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. I went over again. I'm better. Getting better. Let's break our huddle. Let's go onto the playing field of the world. Are we ready to go play? The greatest game ever. The most important game you'll ever play in your life. Let's break out of here. 3, 2, 1, break. Let's go.